This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, are we on? Well, you know, it's funny. I just got butt dialed by my mom. I was actually getting into the music. So my mom accidentally just called me. Which just goes to show you, even if I'm live on air, if mom calls, you got to take it, right?
Of course. Regardless. Of course.
All right, everything's okay. Mom just happened to be, you know, sitting on her phone awkwardly and was so surprised. And I'm like, hello,
the
music
the played,
air.
The rejoin played, and you just sat there like, when are we going live?
I need for you to point. It's like television. You need to point at me.
Usually I point to like Mark or Evan because they work back here. I'll be like, all right, you know, go ahead. But like, because it'll be an awkward start time, like when the Warriors are done bridging that gap. But for Dan Devone, I figure the TV guy for decades, won plenty of awards, talked to Alex Rodriguez, Ichiro Suzuki. I have to point to Dan Devone to tell him to go. Man.
Hey, I got it. So here's an Ichiro story for you as it relates to Andrew Wiggins. So I was covering the Mariners in New York as they played the Yankees in the playoffs. This is years ago. And this is the, it wasn't the championship series, but the Yankees, so this is the early 2000s. And so the Yankees were, it was the game six, and the Yankees had a commanding. It was like 7-2, top of the ninth, two outs.
Okay.
Ichiro was the sensation of baseball year. He was, I believe, in center field, and so they had the bleacher creatures out there. So it started with the fans out in center field, and it just became pervasive throughout the entire stadium, Yankee Stadium, 55,000 strong. They started this chant of Ichiro, sayonara, Ichiro, sayonara. I only say that to say this, is that Andrew Wiggins, for all the off and on, and God bless, I hope things work out from a personal standpoint, but just can't do it anymore, brother. And even if you turn it on in the postseason, I'm beginning to think 2 years ago was sort of like a Joe Flacco moment.
Yeah, yeah. Gets him paid. He's elite. Everyone buys into him.
Yeah, and I just like, it's like, Andrew Wiggins, sayonara.
If Warrior fans started that chant at Chase Center, like that would be the greatest thing ever. Forget who wins and loses. I want to see Golden State Warrior fans do that next home game.
That is just simply not going to happen. Just like, well, it's a New York thing, right? New York just hates on everybody and goes after everybody. It's sort of like when Andrew Wiggins just simply left the team again and – you know, again, it's personal reasons, and everybody gives him the benefit
of
the doubt.
Okay.
If it's New York, he does not get the benefit of the doubt, and albeit it may not be right, but they're hammering that dude, I guarantee you.
For a player like Wiggins, you'd feel like a place like Minnesota would have been the perfect fit. No one cares what happens in Minnesota. Like, and even now, like, yeah, they have, you know, Gobert, and they have Towns, and they have Anthony Edwards, but, like, when he was there, it was him, Jimmy Butler, and Zach LaVine. Like, if that was a team a player like Andrew Wiggins wants to play on, he didn't like it at all. He hated it.
Yeah.
And of all the places to play, and I get San Francisco is great and all, but this is a much bigger market in regards to media. Like, you're going to be under more scrutiny on a team that's won three championships prior to you being here. Like, the fit for Wiggins, personality-wise, You would think he might slip into the background, just play and let Steph and Clay and Dre take the spotlight, but nah. I feel like I've talked more about Wiggins than Draymond and Steph and Clay this year, or even the past 2 years. Like, he has been consistently inconsistent, and that has driven Warrior fans up the wall. What, they're so done with him.
Another guy that's been able, just to stay on this for a second, another guy that's been able to benefit, who's benefiting it right now, benefiting from living out on the West Coast and playing for a West Coast team, is Shohei Ohtani.
Well, maybe not now, but
well, I'm just telling you, everything that's going on,
right?
If this is New York or Boston, Shohei, we need some answers, my man. What's going on, brother?
But I also think, like the Timberwolves and Wiggins, if this is happening with the Twins, no one cares.
Yeah.
No one cares.
You're right. Well, Andrew Wiggins, as we talk about this offseason for a Golden State Warrior team right now that's just trying to hang on, it's now the outlook. It's interesting. It's no longer can we walk down the Sacramento Kings? Can we catch the Los Angeles Lakers? How about, you know, the Pelicans or the Dallas Mavericks? You might forget about all that.
And just again, try beating the Rockets.
Yeah. Forget about looking ahead of you. Just take a look over your right shoulder or left shoulder, or just look in that rearview mirror, because here come the Houston Rockets. How much belief do you have in Van Vliet? I mean, there's you got your man Dylan Brooks.
Well,
Van Vliet.
That's Mark Grandy's guy. Go Ducks.
And, you know, and they've been doing all this without Sengun, who's been not healthy. Jalen Green. I know you're not a believer in the Rockets, but Jalen Green's been very, very good finally. You know? So, I mean, and again, it's a young basketball team.
Yeah.
And it's
sometimes they just don't know better. And they get hot, and they ruin either their draft lottery stance, their picks, but they come on and they knock a team like the Warriors out of the play-in. Like, do I believe in the Rockets? No, because they'll get bounced in the first round. But do I believe in the Warriors? I don't think so either. So if the question is, you know, can the Warriors hold off Houston? Sure. Can the Rockets also knock out Golden State? Yes. Yes, they can. And for Warrior fans, like, take a long look in the mirror. It, like, what an embarrassment that would have to be for Steve Kerr. Like, if you are Stephen Curry, one of the greatest players of all time, if not the best, the second best point guard ever, had changed the game, right? The past 10 years, changed the game, 15 years, changed how basketball is played. If you lose to the Houston Rockets, 2 years removed from winning an NBA Finals championship, an MVP in that finals, with a younger, not better team, but in a much different team, but a team that you could walk into this year and say, wow, they could be a six seed, and they finish 11th, I'd be embarrassed.
Yeah, it's not only embarrassment, but it's the first time in his coaching career with the Golden State Warriors where you begin to look at Steve Kerr and saying, you know, I know he just had that extension, but there is now pressure on you. There's a hot seat, because they don't have to honor. I'm sure there's an escape clause. Those 2 years, you know, if they get passed over by Houston, and I don't know that I necessarily put this on Steve Kerr, because, you know, this is the hand he's dealt. And yeah, maybe he was a little bit slow to the party.
He can only do so
much. Yeah, in playing some of the youngsters. But this is his team. But for the first time in Kerr's coaching career, you can look at him and saying, you know what? It's getting a little hot in here, and you now are on a hot seat, and you're coaching for your NBA life here. You've got to turn things around.
You think
so? You know, there was a moment after he lost to San Antonio and that home game that you were referring to, and it was the first time that I, in a post-game conference, that I just looked at Steve Kerr, and it just felt like he was uncomfortable. He usually, even regardless of some of the most disappointing losses, he usually is in command and gives a level of security, even if it's BS. For whatever reason, I don't know exactly what it is he was talking about. I just had this sense of, you just lost to the Spurs, and he looks like a coach that is looking for something to say and or work the room, where he usually has that in his back pocket.
Or is it he's trying to find answers in a room that just has questions?
Like, oh, that's clear.
Like, there really isn't an answer to the questions that he may have, or the roster might have, or even Warrior fans might have. But I don't think he's coaching for his job, nor do I think he's coaching for his career, because in 2 years, they're all probably gone.
No. Well, let me rephrase that. I'm not saying he's coaching for his career or coaching for his job, but if they get passed over by Houston, and they don't get into the playing game,
okay,
I think that the idea of Coach Kerr being on a hot seat for the first time in his career now becomes very plausible. They don't have to honor the 2 years. I'm not saying that, you know, he's fire Steve Kerr, but for the first time, you go into next year with entertaining the fact that Steve Kerr, now there's some warts on this guy, whereas prior to this upcoming season, should he not get into the postseason or get into the play-in tournament, you never, no one ever had those sort of thoughts about Steve Kerr. This is the first time that he's having to engage, should he not get into the postseason and or the play-in tournament and get passed over by Houston. I think it's the first time that even he has to look in the mirror and entertain that, you know what, this could be the beginning of the end for me.
Warrior fans this year and really the past few years have been harping on Steve Kerr. Rotations, rotations, rotations. I do wonder if you fall to 11 and you miss the play-in. And it doesn't have to be that drastic, but let's say you're tied with the Rockets at a certain point this year and you are feeling the collapse of the season and you somehow pull it out. It does feel like that not only would Warrior fans question him more, I do wonder if people inside that room would question him a little bit. Like the young guys who really weren't there when they won three titles. Now, I don't think Pods would, but I'm sure a player like Kuminga, who I know has already had his spats with Steve Kerr, and yes, he's starting, yes, he's happy and whatnot, but he already has had issues with how he's been coached by Kerr, and for a team that wants Kuminga to be the two or the three top scorer on their team, I do think if there is a botched end to this season, it certainly will have young players question him, and not him maybe as a coach, but him as to where the direction the team is going.
Would you agree that this has been the most challenging, the most turbulent season that Steve Kerr has had to deal with the suspensions, even with the death of the assistant coach Decky, Jonathan Kuminga confronts him on a couple of occasions?
Right. I would. So that's tough because last year was different, right? You know, Draymond and the punch, and that lingers through the entire year.
Let me finish that off by saying everything that's transpired this year and you don't make the play-in tournament.
Right.
So, would that be his most challenging to date, would you say?
I would, because even last year when they lost to the Lakers and how heartbreaking that was, like, you can just sense, okay, this is as far as we're going to go. Like, you may have some fight in you, but it took everything to get past Sacramento last year. I left for vacation during that series wondering, am I going to have a job when I get back to 95-7 the game? And I was hoping and praying I did, and thank God they won, but that Lakers series was okay, like this seems like it's going to be the end of the road for this iteration of the Warriors, whereas this year it feels like every few weeks there's another bump in the road, whether it's rotational issue, an injury to Steph, a Draymond suspension, unfortunately Coach Decky passing away. There's, it feels like everything, every couple weeks there's one more thing with the Warriors, whereas this may have been the most tumultuous season Kerr's had to coach under, and then if you miss the playoffs or the play-in, that's a long off season for a team. And maybe it's a good thing. Like, I hate to say it, but that long break might revitalize the young guys and the older guys and refreshing them. But we also had the exact same conversation with or about Steph. Oh, he's hurt now. He misses three games. Once he comes back, he'll be hot. He's great against the Lakers. Since then, he's been back to Steph Curry post-All-Star break.
Yeah, just getting back to wrap it up on Steve Kerr. Maybe I'll just rephrase it. Maybe not a hot seat. Maybe that's not where I needed to go. But I do think that for the first time in his career, that he's come under some serious fire where he's even had to admit that was a wrong decision to take Moses Moody out of the game against Sacramento. I think that in retrospect, maybe he would admit that it took too long for him to play Jonathan Kuminga or play him more consistently and or recognize Trayce Jackson-Davis, that he was a little bit tethered too much to that of the foundational pieces, that being, you know, the core unit of the Golden State Warriors, that there have been some blatant mistakes, whereas in years past, that hasn't necessarily been the case. And I think that, compounded with the fact that if they get passed over by Houston, that puts him in a whole nother light that I don't think we've ever seen Steve Kerr in as a head coach, where he's always been associated with being a winner. And I think that if he doesn't get into the playing game with everything they've been through, everything that I just outlined, I just think that Steve Kerr, when you say the name Steve Kerr, it doesn't carry the same sort of clout as it did in years past. And really quick, just a 415 out here on the text line is saying, Dub Nation, Oh, no, where is it? So, still a ton of offensive rebounds last night, but don't let the facts get in the way of a great story. I think the 415 was going after me when I said that I think it's time for Trayce Jackson-Davis to start because small ball with an old team looks ridiculous. I think that you're right, by the way, 415, is the Golden State Warriors are statistically one of the best rebounding teams in the NBA.
Yeah.
Now, that's statistically based. But within that, you have to keep in mind when you shoot as many threes as the Golden State Warriors, you get the unconventional long rebounds. And the Warriors, it's not so much about rebounds because, yes, they are physical and they do put bodies on people and get, you know, they get their share of rebounds. It's countering the opposing bigs. It's about being able to match up defensively with a Miles Turner.
Yeah.
It's about when Jokic comes to town and he just gets to any spot he wants to. You give me any team in the NBA and I'll give you at least one or two bigs who, if they want, we'll just get down to the blocks, we'll just post somebody up, or we'll get easy baskets. So when I talk about vertically challenged or playing small and how they've got to change that, it's not about necessarily, don't just see it through the vacuum of rebounds, but it's matching up with opposing teams' bigs. Because the Warriors would love to get easy baskets. It's so strenuous, it's great when you can shoot threes and you're younger. But it's much more challenging physically, especially when you're Steph Curry and you're 36, or you're Klay Thompson and you're 34, and everybody's in their mid-30s. To shoot threes, you need a handle. You got to come off pin downs. You got to run the floor. You've got to get step-back threes. You got to work to get a three. Sometimes when you're bigger and you just get putbacks, or you just simply give me a jump hook from 6 feet away, you just give me some slop in the paint just to take some of that pressure off of relying so much on three-point baskets. So when I talk about getting bigger as a basketball team, it's not necessarily relegated to exclusively rebounds, because you're right, statistically, the Golden State Warriors do get their share of rebounds. But it's about matching up with the other bigs in this, not only in the Western Conference, but in the league. The fact, I hope this is the last year we see the Warriors still hanging on to something that they created, which is quote-unquote small ball.
Yeah, and the funny thing is you asked Steve Kerr after last night's game, hey, Steve, do you need to recalibrate anything you've done? You know what his answer was? I'll play it for you.
No, there's nothing I need to recalibrate. I think we know who our team is. We just have to stay with it. You know, we disappointed, obviously, in this homestand. We were hoping to get all three, and we only got one, and that's put us in a tough spot. So just got to keep plugging away.
That right there is why Warrior fans get upset. I don't need to change anything. And I don't think he means literally anything, but it's we are who we are. We are who we are. And I think for Dub Nation, and even for myself, who really isn't even a Warrior fan, but I have to watch him every single night. Like, as a non-Warrior fan, I get frustrated for Warrior fans. Because I see them and I'm like, if I had to watch this team for 82 games a year, knowing the potential they have, I understand may not have the perfect pieces in place to play this amazing chess match like they used to. But to hear Steve Kerr say, yeah, we're 18-19 at home, 1.5 games behind the Lakers for the 8th seed or the 9th seed, and 1.5 above the Rockets for the 11th seed. And to hear, we're fine, just got to stick with it. What you've been sticking with has not worked all year. So what exactly do you need to stick with? How is it not I need to change something? And maybe it's too late in the season to do so, but we're fine, we're good. No, Steve, you are not fine. And Dub Nation has a right when they hear that to say, seriously? What do you mean stick with it? Stick with what? It's not working.
I think just to defend Coach Kerr for a second here, I think with Coach Kerr, first of all, when you're backed into a corner like that, there's not much more you can say because, he's not going to admit to starting Trayce Jackson-Davis as being the answer. I just don't know what it is that he can do. So from a PR standpoint, he just has to toe the line and saying, yes, no, I'm sticking with these guys. Because anything else, people will read into it and go absolutely nuts, especially with social media being what it is today. And that thing will just travel from city to city, and it'll make its way to ESPN in a matter of moments. Did you hear Steve Kerr said that he's got to make a change, or he's admitting he made mistakes?
They'll ask Bob Myers about it, too, on the next broadcast.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that, In retrospect, he knows he's made mistakes. But yes, he's got to dance with who brought him to the party at this juncture. You got 13 right. games left in the season. And I still do believe that there's a part of Steve Kerr that believes, and just hanging on like I started the show, that that win over the Milwaukee Bucks was not an outlier, was an aberration, but it was, you know, coming off of, think about how they played in the month of February, where they won 10 of 14 games, yeah. and they were on the heels of that. They take out Milwaukee after that road trip in which they won 3 of 4. They blow out the Bucks by 35 points, and there was a sense of, look, it, we're, there were guys like me that were saying, hey, they can make a deep run into the Western Conference playoffs.
They're ascending, yep.
And then, you know, the next night happens and they lose to Chicago, your Chicago
you
Bulls. So that's the issue, is that this team's, as much as we want to say that they now have an identity, I still don't know what the hell that is, because this team is so Jekyll and Hyde. And usually when a team can't consistently play well, it gets right back to being an old basketball team.
Yeah.
If you, Sterling Bennett, before we get to a break here, were just to, if you were to just to put this in one or two areas where the Warriors need improvement. Now, obviously, there's a lot of things that you can point at, but what would you say are the most glaring weaknesses after the loss to Indiana and the way they played over the last 2 weeks, if you were to pick one and or two things?
Transition defense has been a problem all year long. Guys not getting back. I don't know if it's an effort thing, but there's too many guys just standing there like, oh, I thought that was your guy. No, just get back. Whether it's Kuminga, it's even Curry sometimes. I think transition defense, when you're on a run and you're trying to make that comeback and you score a bucket and you make it a two-score game, then bang, you see Halliburton down the court gliding towards the bucket because you're not playing defense. That, to me, is one of the most glaring needs of this team.
Could it be, again, attributed to age?
Maybe, yeah. Maybe guys are just tired. Maybe guys have little left in the tank.
Yeah, no, because I always begin and end that you're an old basketball team or you're too young. And when you're old, that's playing right into what it is that I'm laying out here, is that you just simply can't get back. You can't get back on defense. Watch. I know he lumbers for a big guy, but watch Trayce Jackson-Davis when he gets out on a break.
Yeah.
Right? Even if he pulls the rebound and gets an outlet, watch him run the floor. He beats Klay Thompson up the floor. Mm-hmm. He'll beat Steph Curry up the floor. He'll beat Draymond Green up the floor. Well, he'll beat CP3 up the floor. And he's not the fastest dude in the world.
How many times have you seen Klay take a three, and it happened against, I think it was the Lakers, took a three and walked towards the Warriors bench like it was going in? And I get that, have confidence in yourself, only to miss it, and Lakers are down there scoring a bucket off his guy. It happens all the time. And to me, there's a difference in, it's an age factor, it's an older player who just can't go up and up down the court for 1,000 times a game. I get that. This is happening in third quarters. Klay isn't the guy running up and down. He's the guy taking spot up threes because he can't make his own shot anymore. Like, it's not always an age thing. It's an effort issue. And maybe that leans into the age because of the effort, which is fine, but I don't think it's the Warriors need to get younger. I think they need to play with more tenacity at times.
All right, we've got to get to a break. By the way, Klay Thompson, who played very well in that first half, but to your point, he cannot, for whatever reason, put it together for four quarters, especially in the second half of basketball games. But he did add 17 points, and he erupted in that first quarter. In fact, he carried the load, not Steph Curry. One thing, though, as we talk about Klay Thompson, as he was in that scoring mode and just lit it up, and he hit another three, bad shimmy, bro. Really bad shimmy. He's got to work on the shimmy. He's got to go call his man Steph Curry and saying, hey, before today's game, can you just teach me how to work the shoulders so I can get the shimmy down? That was a bad shimmy on the part of Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson, 17 points, but is he too old? What's the future for Klay Thompson? What's the future for the Golden State Warriors? It's Sterling Bennett. It's Dan Devone. It's Warriors.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This week, we'll be back with much more right after this.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
It's Dan Abone. It's Sterling Bennett. Yes, Sterling, I know.
I had a point that time.
Mom's not calling in. I'm okay. I know we're live on the air. Text line. Dubs fans say, F the L.A. Lakers fakers. They'll beat them like they did last Saturday on their court on Chase. The reason I read that is because there's a sense of optimism here. Just a little energy, finally. Yeah, come on, man. Screw the Lakers. Get some good San Francisco Chase Center sort of, you know, city vibe going here. It's a good, not everything. It's not the end of the world. You get into that play-in tournament, you take on the Los Angeles Lakers, you'll be all right. I think you can beat the Lakers.
Then
look
what?
At Shohei's turning into that? A degenerate gambler, man. LA's falling apart.
I feel like people don't even really care about that in LA. I know here we do because it's Shohei against the Dodgers, but I don't think anybody in LA cares. You want to know why? Even if he doesn't play, they'll win 110 games. And they'll win the NLs, the NL West, they'll be in the playoffs. Like, having him is almost a luxury for them, which is insane to think about.
Yeah, now that is a ridiculous team they have. I would enjoy it, though. I would laugh my ass off if I looked over at the Los Angeles Dodgers and their prize pig over there is just a dude who's betting the under on James Madison last night and then blaming it on his interpreter. And let me just tell you something. The interpreter, especially with those Japanese players, they are very close. And there's another shoe that's going to drop in all of that. Yeah. I do see that someone hanging a line, speaking of people that gamble for a living, formerly of KPIX, let's just get out to my man, Chuck, who's hanging out in the Midwest somewhere. As I talked about, formerly of KPIX, a guy that was a sportscaster in these parts and sorely missed. Every time I walk down the street, at least twice a week, people ask me, what the hell happened to Chucky Walter? And I'm saying he got run by a bad shop called KPIX who doesn't know what the hell they're doing. Chuck Walter joins us from Chicago. Chucky, what's on your mind?
Oh, how are we, Dan? Still on the morning show. I thought after, you know, they took a look at your five Emmys, they'd have you prime time. But still in the morning. Good to see you, big guy. How are we?
Doing well. So any thoughts on, before we get into, of course, the part of the world that you live in, because my man here, Sterling, lives and dies with the Chicago Bulls, but just from afar, I know you keep an eye on the Golden State Warriors. Any sort of general thoughts on where they're at right now after the most recent loss to that of the Indiana Pacers?
I got to be honest with you, Dan. Moving back to the Midwest, I'm back on the college train. I know all the listeners right now are saying, you're an idiot. College stinks. It's an NBA town. This is what we do here. We sit in 35-degree weather with our parkas inside, and we watch terrible basketball for no reason and gamble way too much on it and lose consistently. So, yeah, since I left San Francisco, I've watched maybe four games. You ask my wife, Kylan, she could tell you everything about the team. But I'll just be honest with you, Dan. I got nothing to add to the show in that regard.
Okay, well, I'm glad we brought you on. You want to just take us out with some Chicago Bull knowledge from my man Sterling Bennett here?
I don't have any Chicago Bull knowledge. I told you, this is the Midwest college hoops town. All I care about right now is what's going on with the Auburn Tigers. Took them winning the national championship. They are gone. I took Tominaga making a run because I thought the Japanese Steph Curry was made for March. Instead, they got blasted by Texas A&M. I was crying along with that Dayton Flyers fan because I had Nevada making a run. I mean, my bracket's one of the worst in the country right now, Dan. And I know this is a Warriors show, so I'll let you go. I just wanted to make my presence known in the Bay Area. I'm sure it's beautiful out there. It's awful today in Chicagoland. Miss y'all. Miss the listeners. I know Ernie's out there somewhere. Zion Williamson is back, Ernie. I'm waiting for that Canes, baby.
Hey, tell me this, Chuck. Have you had to dig out your car yet?
Oh, dude. You're going to hate this. So, apparently in the Bay Area, it's impossible to get tickets. Because I did not get any tickets while I was in the Bay Area. I've already gotten three. So my license is on life support right now. The last one that I received, it was due to a frosty back windshield. A frosty back windshield. They pulled me over. They got me. I got caught on the 28th.
Man.
You kidding me?
That's wrong. All right. Go back into your den in that sub-zero temperature and go bet on everybody out there in the East Regional. By the way, are we taking Oakland over North Carolina State today?
No, we got a three-game parlay. This is for everyone. We got Oakland money line. We got Iowa State money line, and we are also chipping in with a what should the third money line be in there? Let's go with
Washington State.
I'm going to go with Tennessee money line. That's a three-gamer. It'll get you plus 158 odds. Slap a saddle on it, ride it to the county fair.
All right, so basically you brought absolutely nothing to the show today. This is great producing on your part. Sterling's telling me we got Chucky coming up today. The show is going to...
No, Dan came in the back and said, Chuck's coming on, get ready. I was like, all right, whatever Dan wants.
Oh, by the way, Chucky, you there?
I get it, guys. It's Warriors Central. Everyone loves the NBA, but you can't take 5 minutes to talk about the tournament?
No, we can't. And by the way, Chucky, this is just for you, man, because you know I love you. Play me out, Sterling. We got it?
We got it. Yeah, there it is.
Hold on. Let me get one, Dan. But he's doing the cat!
Charlie Walters, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, man. That's
all
great.
Right. Let's get back to it. So, listen, we're talking
about...
We took
a hard pause for Chuck.
Let's just talk for a second about... I got to talk about Jonathan Kuminga just for a second here.
Okay.
Jonathan Kuminga last night, I just got to give you his numbers here. And as much as we praise this guy, and he is going to be a future star in this league, I don't think there's any doubt about that. But we do have to highlight his really bad performance.
Yes.
And it was atrocious.
He's bad.
He did finish with double digits. He had 11 points, but he played in 30 minutes. And anybody who watched the game, he was just, he looked like Jonathan Kuminga of a year ago. He looked like Jonathan Kuminga of early on in the season where he would just rush.
He's forcing stuff. Yeah, exactly.
And he just seemed as though he was, you know, he was accelerated again.
Yeah.
He just got sped up. I don't know why or whether that was the defense of Siakam or Turner. Steve Kerr said after the game that it was a good learning experience for Jonathan Kuminga.
I agree, yeah.
And it was, but therein lies part of the problem here, is that while you're relying on this guy to potentially be your number two scorer to offset Steph Curry. And at the same time admitting that he's still learning. Yeah. Like this was, you know, this is good experience for him. So it just... I think it adds to sort of where we're at is this continuing conundrum of somebody who's going to be your number two to Steph Curry. It's not Jonathan Kuminga. For crying out loud, according to Steve Kerr, he's still gaining experience. And he is.
Right.
And he's going to be a good basketball player.
For another year or two. Like, the more you see, the more you'll learn. I do think, and I think it was Austin who brought up the San Antonio Spurs, where Kawhi got to come in and play pivotal minutes for them while their big three was still intact, playing championship-level basketball. Whereas Kuminga comes in year one, they win a championship. Then year two, the whole pool situation happens, and now it's year three. He has to be the number two guy. Or if he was drafted 5 years ago instead of 3 years ago, entirely different story. Like, he is the number two guy next to Steph. It just feels like Kuminga, he got drafted at an awkward part for the Warriors. Whereas now, fast forwarding 3 years ahead of time, we all want him to be the number two. He looks like he can be a number two. But like last night, and like you said, even like Steve Kerr said, Kuminga seeing Miles Turner just in the paint, like, you're not going to penetrate that. And there is some naivety to him being so young of like, I can do anything. No, you can't, kid. Like, no, you can't. I'm 6'2", 215 pounds. I'm not fighting a 6'6 guy who's 275. It's not going to happen. Like, you have to know who you are. And sometimes there is a lot of good that come from blind confidence because it can get you a lot of places. Kuminga, I think, has blind confidence in himself where after he makes a dunk or has an amazing layup, he's out there flexing, and that's all great stuff for a young player like himself. But even that confidence, that high confidence he has, where he, as young as he is, told Steve Kerr, play me or trade me. Either I'm going to play or I'm going to go elsewhere. In year three of a team that has Steph, Clay, and Dre, you still find games like last night where it's like, hey, take a step back. And he even said 2 nights ago that it took me getting yelled at to wake me up. I do wonder if Kerr yelled at him last night. I don't think he did, but sometimes Kuminga needs a little bit of a shaking to wake him up.
Yeah, I don't think it was one of those where you yell at him. It's not like he missed assignments.
Right.
It's just one of those where he was just, he was young and raw again. I think Jonathan Kuminga, as confident as he is, and you're right, I love that confidence where he feels he can take anybody, and he should, and he's probably right. He has to pick his moments, obviously. But what I like about Jonathan Kuminga is while he's overly confident, he's still got this infectious, boyish smile about him.
Yeah, he does.
I like the guy. I don't know, I've never met him, but, you know, that's just, much like a lot of people love Moses Moody, demeanor means everything in terms of how you relate and connect to the quote-unquote unwashed masses, the fan base. And Jonathan Kuminga's a good dude, man. I like the way this guy's put together. But my point being in all of this is that you still need to be patient with him at the end of the day. When I see the Indiana Pacers, I know this isn't fair because it happens every draft, and there's more than one team that missed on Halliburton. But when you think about the Golden State Warriors and what could have been, with Tyrese Halliburton on this basketball team right now, had the Warriors not botched that draft. And I'll go a step further. The trade deadline. Pascal Siakam was out there. Now, you may have had to give up Jonathan Kuminga. But let me just ask you, if you had those two basketball players, Tyrese Halliburton and Pascal Siakam on your team, I mean, what are the Warriors looking like right now? Now, maybe you're without because you would have had to give up draft picks and probably, I'm assuming, Jonathan Kuminga. But do you look at Indiana last night and say, wow, Tyrese Halliburton and Pascal Siakam could have been Golden State Warriors to go along with everything else we have?
I would say the Siakam one is, of those two players, the one I point to and say, wow, what could have been this year? Because the Halliburton one's tough because you could have picked him, sure, and that's fine and all, but this year, had you traded Wiggins and maybe some picks for Siakam, and who knows, if they wanted Kuminga, it's probably a deal breaker because I like you and I agree with, he can be something really special. And I would not want to part with that, but watching Siakam last night, I don't want to say tear down Golden State, but have a great game against the Warriors and be a presence in the paint and give the Pacers something you wish the Golden State Warriors had. And then you see Andrew Wiggins last night, and you're like, oh, my gosh. like what I would do to get that guy, and you could have had that guy. Now, the price may have been high, but I think if you are Golden State, there might be some, I guess, non-buyer's remorse because you didn't pay for anybody. But I do think the Golden State Warriors wish they would have gotten Pascal Siakam. I really do.
25-16 last night for Pascal Siakam. Now, keep in mind that you're going to have to pay him. He's going to be an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season. Or he's just signed a deal with Indiana, I want to say.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so the Warriors would have had to pay Pascal Siakam and also risk potentially losing him at the end of the year. But I think anybody knows that if the Warriors pulled the trigger on a trade for Pascal Siakam, we're obviously talking about something that's, you know, it's not going to happen because he's now a member of the Indiana Pacers. But had he come to the Golden State Warriors, it was a conversation that the Warriors and whether it's Dunleavy or Joe Lacob would have had with that of Pascal Siakam to make sure that he was going to re-up with Golden State before you make that trade, which is pretty much what took place out there in Indiana as he re-signed with the Indiana Pacers.
I actually think he's a...
Oh, is he? He's has
this
signed
last year's deal? Deal, yeah. He's UFA after this year, yeah.
All right. Well, it's expected that he's going back to the Indiana Pacers.
But even then, you take Chris Paul's money off the books, you take Wiggins' money off the books, like, I guess you got to pay Clay, and it's all, you know, what-ifs and whatevers, but, man, like, if you are Mike Dunleavy, who I think has done a great job in his first year as a GM, like, a lot of hate going from Bob Myers to Dunleavy, trading pool away, extending Draymond, there was a lot of conversations as to who is this guy, and there was a lot of talk of, was his demeanor as a player going to carry over into him being a GM? And I do think that Dunleavy's done a great job for Golden State. But if there is one move I think you wish you would have made this year, it's getting Pascal Siakam. Get rid of Wiggins, and maybe Andrew goes away and can figure the off-the-court stuff out.
What about Kuminga?
Again, that's the part where it's like, and
would you trade Kuminga to get Pascal Siakam?
No. Mm. And I think that's probably where the deal fell apart. Because I don't think I would. And maybe that's because even with Siakam this year, let's say it's Curry and Clay and Siakam and Draymond, does that team win a title? Does that team make you a six seed? I don't think so.
With Tyrese Halliburton?
Well, that's then you have a different starting five, but take out Halliburton. If you just have Siakam, how much better is this team today?
Yeah, I would agree with you.
Four wins, which is, you know, eighth seed, which is great, but are you that much better?
And you have to win now.
Yeah.
Or you have to win next year because he's, I want to say, 31 years of age. So when you do the math, Jonathan Kuminga, you know, 4 years from now is going to be, what, 25? I mean, it's scary to think where Jonathan Kuminga is going to be. So Pascal Siakam, I'm not saying that they shouldn't have done it, but if you are, it's about the here and now, and it's about winning titles this year and or next year or over the next 2 or 3 years and sort of matching that window of that of Steph Curry.
What is the Warriors' window, though? Because I know we talk about, in a couple years.
It's Steph Curry.
Right, but so in a couple years, Steph is what, 37, 36?
2 years, he's going to be 38.
Okay, so like that right there, like Steph right now, you can argue, for as great as he has been, for as great as he is, can Steph Curry today be your number one? I think for the most part, yes. But I don't think he can be your number one going into a playoff series. And I love Steph. He is...
Right now, you mean?
Yes. Like, right now, is Steph Curry enough to win you a title himself? No. In 2 years, Steph, like, even less will be enough to win you a title. Like, you're going to have a much deeper roster around him that is minus Wiggins, minus Chris Paul, probably younger. Like, you're going to have not just a one. You're going to have a one, a two, and a three with Clay. And again, that's not a knock on Curry. He'll be 38. What 38-year-old is number one on any team? None of them. They're all older guys that are like, I'm scoring 12 points a game. Curry probably give you 20 still, but can he be number one? I don't think so.
No, he can't. And this gets back to what it is that I said earlier when it comes to LeBron James, who when he was in his mid to late 30s, saw the writing on the wall, recognize that while I'm still a very dominant and one of the best basketball players in the NBA, I need help. I'm going to go out and get Anthony Davis, who happens to be the best basketball player available, and that's how you continue winning. And you have to be a little GM. The fact that the Golden State Warriors are so one-dimensional, and you don't even have to look 2 years from now and or even this year. Going into this season, it was an issue.
Yeah.
Remember how they ended things with the Los Angeles Lakers in Game 6 of a year ago in the playoffs?
Oh, like it was yesterday.
It was clearly, to me at least, the minute the buzzer sounded and the game was over, my immediate thought was, you need to get Steph some help.
Yep.
He carried you against Sacramento. He did all he could against the Los Angeles Lakers. There's nobody else who's an offensive threat. And it was so clear that the Los Angeles Lakers just said, man, we're just going after number 30. Let's just double-team him. We'll throw three dudes at him the minute he crosses the timeline because there's nobody else that's a scoring threat. The Andrew Wiggins of then, a year ago, because we're talking about last year, that's just a ghost. That ain't going to hurt us.
He's a ghost now.
And just jump Steph Curry. And that's the same scenario that we're looking at right now. So Steph needs help. Steph has, and it's not about a project. It's not even Jonathan Kuminga, as good as he might be. Once again, quote Steve Kerr, it's still an experience for him. He's still getting experience. He's still learning on the job. They've got to go get a bona fide star. They've got to go get somebody who's giving you 25 points a game. That's a perennial all-star. Who that is, I don't know. Do they have enough assets to bring that, lure that person to the Warriors? Do they have enough draft picks? Is Kuminga once again back on the table? I don't know how you get it done. But if Steph Curry continues to be part of the process going forward, which yeah. I'm assuming he is.
He needs to be.
He needs help. And it's help of somebody who's legitimately bona fide, stamped as a star in this league.
And that's why I don't think you move Kuminga. Because, well, yes, he may be a project, still releases an up-and-coming star you hope can be a number two. Maybe in 2 years' time, Kuminga is this amazing all-star player, which I think he's on the way there eventually by the way he plays. Like, there's too much explosiveness and spring in his step to not be one of the best penetrating forwards in basketball. Like, he's just like, and the more he plays, better he'll get, right? The more savvy he'll be when it comes to not attacking Miles Turner straight up in the paint. Like, you're not going to win that battle. But that, I think, is why you don't trade Kuminga. That's why you let Chris Paul go. That's why I think, to a certain degree, especially this year, there may be some, should we have actually paid Draymond? Like, I know that's a whole bigger conversation as to who Draymond is as a person and whatnot, but I do think the Golden State Warriors find themselves caught in between. just like they have been the past three seasons. Then it was two timelines. Now it's, what is our timeline? Do we want to go for it all? Can we afford to go for it all? Well, now we have these young guys playing well. Okay, we don't want to move off of them. Okay, but now you, again, find yourself, we have an aging core and a bunch of young guys we hope can be something. And you don't know what side of the fence you want to sit on. Do you want to go all in on Curry and Dre and Clay? Fine. If you want to do that, you have to realize what your team is going to be. And it's who they are now. Older, aging vets that can win 39 games, 40 games a year, but don't have enough to be a 9 or 8 or 7 seed. You're with this team now, as it current stands, if they go into next year, which again is 13 games away and a playoff runaway maybe, you are going to be the exact same team you were this year. The exact same team. That it just isn't good enough. And sure, you have part of the fan base on the text line saying they have a run in them still, and they might. My question is, why do you believe that? What has this team shown you they have a run left in them? I haven't seen it all year. A couple big games, a win against the Bucks, cool, great. Wow. Kenny Atkinson coaches a great win, and they look refreshed, and look what this team can be. That's not who this team is, though. This team is a team that loses to the Knicks, that are shorthanded, that is surviving and gripping on with the thinnest of ropes onto that 10th seed, hoping a young Rockets team doesn't overtake them. Like, this team now does not give me hope they can win anything.
Well, I guess if you were to look at the two teams that you just mentioned, the New York Knicks and the Indiana Pacers, the two teams that beat them this week and sandwiched in between that, they beat Memphis. That they beat the New York Knicks, and they walloped them pretty good in New York at the Garden at the back end of a long road trip. So I think somewhere they know that they can do this. It's the same Knicks team. Again, they were banged up in New York, but it wasn't even close. They got out and they boat raced the Knicks right from the jump.
Is it Chase Center then? That's the problem?
And the same thing with the Indiana Pacers at Indiana. Now, you know, Halliburton was in a minutes restriction at the time, but they took it to the Indiana Pacers, and both were convincing victories. So I think within that, I think there's a level of confidence, and maybe it goes back to, well, I know it's a bit of a reach, but me thinking that this is a team that could make a run in the postseason, when you think about that, they've been with just about everybody in the NBA this year. And I'm talking about losses to Oklahoma, wins against Oklahoma, you know, Minnesota. They've played them tooth and nail. The Denver Nuggets, even though they've lost every game to Denver, a lot of those are going right down to the wire. My point in all of this is that now the Denver Nuggets have sort of separated themselves from everybody else in the West, in my estimation. But the Minnesota Timberwolves, again, should not keep you. That's not the reason for you to be sleepless because of the T-Wolves, or because of OKC, or because of an aging Clipper team, or because of the Sacramento Kings. Those teams right now are better than the Golden State Warriors, especially with the Warriors losing to Indiana. Yeah, I'm not an idiot. I get it. But the Warriors, if they find another gear, if Trayce Jackson is rejecting Giannis and you get that energy and Steph turns it on for, you know, a couple of weeks, making a run in the Western Conference this year is not beyond the realm of possibilities, as ridiculous as that might sound. Again, when you think about the teams that they lost to this week, the New York Knicks, which beat them up, and the Warriors have no excuses, were at full strength. Meanwhile, the Knicks, they got everybody. It's like a MASH unit. Everybody's hurting that team. They took it to the Knicks in New York less than a month ago. Same thing with the Indiana Pacers. So there's just a fine line between the Warriors and that team that defeated the Milwaukee Bucks by 35 and the team that just lost 2 of 3 at home. So, you know, that... Oh, you want to get time traveler before we get out? Oh, we're late.
We can. We're good.
You sure?
Yeah, we're good.
Time traveler, we're on the clock here, but let's hear what you got to say. Welcome to Warriors this week.
I got a lot to say. Will you please let me come back after the break?
Oh, Tom, I love you. Let's do that. Tom, we don't want to rip you off. Tom, hang on.
Let me come back after the break.
Yeah, no doubt. Just hang right where you are, couple of minutes, and you come back, and you come back strong. The rest of the callers, we see you stacking up there, 888-957-9570. Time Traveler. We're teasing Time Traveler as we go to a break. Oh, you better come strong with the time. We'll be back right after this.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.